This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol. And joining me today is Tracy Gregoire. I said Tracy Lester. Sorry. Joining me today is Tracy Gregoire. We are on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester and Lakes region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, you can give us a call at 866-823-1077. We'd love to hear of a new place that may be opening up or a new place you've eaten at. Or if you just want to share a recipe or if you just want to chat with us. Again, the number is 866-823-1077. We'd also like to welcome our live audience here to the Beacon Building. We're right in downtown Manchester at 814 Elm Street. You still have plenty of time to come on down and have some lunch and watch the show. And please like us on Facebook. You're going to see all kinds of pictures, and we have some trivia going on for you to win prizes from our sponsors and all that. So, and also there'll be some pictures up shortly, I'm sure by the end of the day, of Chef Evan Hennessy's oyster chips.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Which Tracy over there, you should see her eating Chef Hennessy's meal that he just put together meticulously for us.
It was very, very flavorful. So good.
Yeah, very, very good. And I think you're going to give a shout out to our sponsors.
I am. Thank you to our sponsors, New England Coffee Company, the official coffee for Food for Thought. NewEnglandCoffee.com, Fallon's Furniture, the official decorator of the Green Room for Food for Thought, and Callan Company. Celeste Oliva, 75 South Main Street in Concord. CelesteOliva.com, your source for the freshest premium extra virgin olive oils and balsamic vinegars, and added to their line is fresh pasta and honey. Red Arrow Diners, Manchester, Milford, and now open with drive-thru in Londonderry, RedArrowDiner.com. Belmont Hall and Restaurant, 718 Grove Street in Manchester. BelmontHall.net, top quality foods made fresh for over 50 years. Integrity Health Coaching Solutions, Bedford and Londonderry. IntegrityFit.com, your coaching solutions company. And Express Jewelry Center, 44 North Main Street in Concord. ExpressJewelryNH.com for your precision, repair, and sales. And if you stop by, let them know that Food for Thought sent you.
Beautiful. And without any further ado, we're going to welcome on our next guest. We're pretty lucky today, all this food we're getting.
I know.
And
it's
this
a great
looks
job.
Phenomenal also. But let's welcome on Allison Kelly of Turismo Tavern in Hillsboro. You know, we're getting lots of folks from Hillsboro, which is really cool. I mean, I think that's great. So welcome, Allison, to Food for Thought.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about Turismo Tavern.
Well, Turismo, many people ask me the question, what is Turismo?
That was going to be
where did that name, where did that name come from? And I love exotic cars, and my passion is, and hopefully someday, please come down to my restaurant and help me achieve this goal, to buy a Ferrari. So the GTO Ferrari, the GTO designation, was a racing designation in Italy years ago. And the T is the Turismo and Gran Turismo Omologato.
Gran Turismo, I've heard that. That's
right. Oh, my goodness.
I knew it sounded familiar, but I wasn't sure why. Yeah.
But, you know, it's a really cool name. It just kind of flows right off your tongue. And, you know, Turismo Tavern in Hillsboro. I like it. I really like it.
Thanks so much.
And it also translates in Italian. It means touring, or in Spanish, it means tourist or traveler. And my other great passion in life is just traveling and sometimes throwing too much caution to the wind in foreign countries just to taste the different cuisines.
Mm, and, that's my favorite part.
Yeah, I've been to 26 countries so far.
Oh.
And, you know, every once in a while I suffer the consequences of that. But I've eaten like bizarre foods at Andrew Zimmer's show. I love that. And I go out of my way to eat very bizarre things. And I've had grasshopper and emu and alligator and kangaroo and so many different types of food in the different countries that I've been to. But I have to say that my favorite is alpaca. When I was in Peru, alpaca, which is a llama basically, and it's got the consistency of chicken and the flavor of veal. And in a garlic wine and butter sauce. I could have it every day and never grow tired of it.
So is there anything that you tried that was just horrible? I gotta think grasshopper is not too good.
Yeah, well, it's very briny. The strangest thing I had, they have in Shanghai, they have tea houses and they have these spotted raw eggs that are a delicacy over there, which of course I had to try, but I have to say I didn't find it appealing at all.
Now, with all of your travels and the foods that you've tried, how does that relate to your restaurant, to Turismo Tavern? Do you infuse those different ideas or flavors in any way?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, one thing that you learn traveling extensively is that the core elements are all the same for the most part. Some countries, they eat things that we don't eat here, but if you open your mind to it, it's really quite tasty. And so the core elements, all they do is they change up maybe the method of delivery or the spices, but the core elements were all the same. So what I brought today
is delicious,
is,
by
eating,
the way.
My mouth is full right now.
It's spicy in a good way.
Sriracha ginger shrimp, and it kind of brings the heat of the sriracha from Mexico and the sweetness of the ginger from Asia, and we combined it into this dish.
It is so good.
It's my kind of dish. I mean, the first bite gave it that, you know, the spice. I mean, I'm a sriracha. Woohoo. I love sriracha. So,
and I am not.
It's kind of getting replaced by Mano Fuel, though. Mano Fuel is a hot sauce, organic hot sauce that we're going to be doing in the diners. And it's kind of, you should look into that Mano Fuel. I'll give you some info on it. But anyway, this is fabulous. This is just fabulous.
And I'm glad you're enjoying it.
I do not like spicy foods. I like a little bit, but as a rule, I kind of do stay away from spicy foods. And as I'm eating this, the flavors are so good that I wanted to keep eating it.
Well, like
even
said,
though it's a little bit spicy for my taste, but it's a good spicy. Like it's really,
well, it balances
really
it
good.
Off with the sweet.
It,
you know?
Maybe that's what it is, because it's really good. I'm gonna have some more.
It's very good. So, what is the name of this dish, Allison?
It's sriracha ginger shrimp.
Okay.
And it's got a rice wine vinegar with the sriracha and the ginger and a little bit of soy as the base, and a thin noodle, which we all know now is pretty universal. It's just not Italian. And the shrimp are grilled in the sriracha sauce, and then we have a garnish of grilled leeks on top.
It's fabulous. Mm. It really, really is. Everything just balances itself
it
out
really
very,
does.
Very nicely. Now, for those of us, and I myself, and you know, we had Go Juice here yesterday and Jumpin' John's German Bread here yesterday, I need to get out to Hillsborough. So let me know and let the listeners know what they can expect right when you walk in the front door, because remember, this is radio, so they can't see this. So explain it in detail, like what we might find when we walk in the front door of Turismo Tavern.
Well, the first thing that you'll see is a dance floor and the stage, because we have live music events at least once weekly. And one of the events that we've had that's been very popular is once a month we have paint night.
Oh.
And the last event actually sold out, and there are only a few tickets left for the April event. So if you haven't gotten your tickets, please go to paintnight.com and get your tickets for Paint Night, which is April 16th. But this Friday, we have a blues band, Red House Road Blues. And the following Saturday, we have the Scott Mullet Trio, which is jazz. And we also have the Boogeymen coming on May 2nd, which is a very popular local band. And a wonderful band by the name of Hunter, which has a beautiful vocalist. The band has been there without their vocalist under the name of Cassette, and they were extremely popular. They're based out of Nashua, and they'll be there on, I believe it's April 18th. So the first thing you come in is you see the stage and the dance floor for the live events. And then if you look to your left, we have a full bar and a selection of over 12 craft beers, because I'm very much a beer aficionado. I really like dark beers. And we have a good representation of dark beers, IPAs, German beers, the Hefeweizen, and Arrogant Bastard, which is made out in Stone Brewing Company, which I used to live by, and a representation of Green Flash as well, which is a fabulous brewery out in, I believe, in Encinitas, California.
And I think that, you know, draft beers or microbrews are so popular right now that it's just nice to go to some place where you can try unique, really good flavorful food and be able to try not your typical beers as well. So that, and then to have the music at the same time, it sounds like a really great combination.
I'm enjoying it, and what I'd like to do is actually migrate to beer pairings. So hopefully sometime late spring, early summer, we'll start introducing pairings with the different types of beer with the foods that are on the fixed price menu. And we also have a murder mystery dinner theater coming, which we're probably going to do a pairing option for.
You know, beer pairings, you're starting to hear a little bit more about. It's pretty, I think it's pretty cool. I mean, you know, it's wine pairing is usually the thing, but beer pairing has really become very, very popular.
Well, pizza and beer, I mean, that's kind of like the go-to.
And do you tell us about your menu a little bit, besides what we're trying here.
It's been an evolution in terms of the menu development. I mean, some, like the Sriracha Ginger Shrimp, for example, has been extremely popular. There have been other items that I thought were absolutely fabulously delicious, but really weren't that popular. So it's always going to be an evolution for the menu. The menu's had different indoctrinations over the past few months that we've been open. And I think that that's probably going to continue as I learn about new things and my clientele enjoys more of what we table. And a shout out to my cook, Rick Dauphiné, for putting together this lovely meal for us. I think that's going to continue.
Very nice. And, you know, for those of you just tuning in, you are listening to Food for Thought. We're live at the Beacon Building right in downtown Manchester at 814 Elm Street. And we are in studio with Allison Kelly, who is the owner of Turismo Tavern. They are fairly new. You've been there about 6 months, you
Correct.
Said. Mm-hmm. And over in Hillsboro, you can check them out on the web at turismotavern.com. They have a great website. Their menu pops right up. And now, is your dining room very large? Is it a small, intimate?
No, it is. It's large. We have several thousand square feet, some of which is comprised of the dance floor. Mm-hmm. But we have a seating capacity for just under 100. So,
so that's good size.
The murder mystery, we'll be trying to seat as many people as we possibly can, and then service them well, because that's the other thing.
Of course.
You know, it's got to be delicious food, but delicious food with fabulous service, and that's really what we concentrate on.
Quality and consistency.
Now, tell me, have you ever owned a restaurant before?
No,
I
was previously in the financial arena, and just decided to make a change, and I just happened to be up here on a trip visiting my girlfriend and her husband were stationed in Seoul, Korea, and I came up to visit her mom, and I said, you know what, I want to go to the Yankee Candle Factory, so instead of coming up the 93, I'm going to go home in the 91, and came by this location. I said, gee, that looks interesting, and after some research and several months of negotiations, here we are.
Oh my goodness, you are brave.
Definitely.
Very brave.
I always love to hear how people got started, and I especially like to hear that you go from one career to another, because sometimes later in life we feel like we want to do that, but not so brave, and it's a big change. So I think it's great to hear that you've done that successfully, so congratulations.
Oh, thanks so much. Big world, short life.
Yep, exactly.
We are going to go on a short break. We are in studio with Allison Kelly of Turismo Tavern. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol. Joining me today is Tracy Gregoire. You're listening to Food for Thought, and we are in studio with Allison Kelly of Turismo Tavern, and we're located right in Hillsboro. You can check them out on the web at Turismo, and that's Turismo tavern.com. And you can pull up their menus and all that. And that's one thing we didn't really talk a little bit about. Let's talk about your menu. It seems very varied. The one thing that popped right out at me were the stuffed jalapenos.
Yes, and that was a relatively new addition to the menu. People like the spicy.
They
and
do.
And they're fresh jalapenos. You know, a lot of times you'll see them on the menu, and they're the pre-breaded. We make everything except for a few items fresh, made on the premises. And we take the jalapenos and we pre-grill them and then stuff them with cheese and bacon and serve them on a platter. Mm-hmm. And they're quite spicy, but people like the spicy stuff.
They do, yes. They definitely do.
Most people I know love the spicy, yeah. My husband being one of them.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about your menu. Is it, it seems like you have a great variety, different appetizers, you have entrees. So let's talk a little bit about maybe what are a couple of your favorites?
Well, I have to say what we have in front of us is my favorite. So unfortunately, that I'm going to default to that. But I love some of the dishes of stromboli that we have on the menu. And again, part of the travels is we have this wonderful country that we live in. And that also needs to be explored. And there are lovely regional dishes like buffalo wings from Buffalo, New York, stromboli from Philadelphia, PA, all the Cajun. We just recently had a Mardi Gras party, and we had jambalaya and catfish from the South, from Louisiana region. So we try to incorporate, again, the freshest ingredients, a little bit of our own creative muse as well. So I was like, oh, you know, let's see if this is fresh because I feel like making this kind of thing. And a lot of the regional dishes that we have are not only inspired by foreign travel, but inspired just by wonderful places I've been here in the United States.
I like how you fuse things, too. I mean, it sounds like you fuse quite a few things.
Yeah, and it's, you've heard of Asian fusion, Japanese fusion, like with the dish that we have in front of us. I mean, there's an Asian Mexican flair to it. And we have some regional variations on international food. For example, we've got our fish tacos, which are haddock tacos, but they are SoCal style. Mm-hmm. So the SoCal style incorporates some citrus, mayonnaise, and slaw inside the taco, which you might not necessarily find south
of
the border.
So good.
Another thing I see on your menu is Tex-Mex chicken egg rolls. That sounds very different.
Again, you know, part of the Asian, you know, Southwestern fusion. It is basically you have a taco, a chicken taco, inside a deep fried egg roll. So where you would normally have Chinese food and egg roll and it would, you know, be pork, we have chicken and beans and rice, and it's cut so that you can dip it into like a tahini sauce.
I love that. Again, trying something new.
I can't wait to go.
I'm looking to see what else. Pretzel basket. What's anything?
Oh, there's other than the fact that they are just absolutely fabulous pretzels. That's one of the items that we actually don't make in house. We pre-buy them, but there are so many different variations in terms of and vendors for the pretzels, and I've had a lot of really bad hard pretzels, and these are soft pretzels served with mustard, a little bit of salt, not too much salt. And nice and soft, baked hot, fresh, and very tasty.
And that's not something you see on a menu as an appetizer very often. So it's kind of unique. Mm-hmm. All right, looking through here to see what else
we have. Very, very nice.
Shrimp a la
jefe.
Jefe. I knew I was going to say that wrong.
It's a different take on the scampi because scampi is normally served over rice. This can be served over pasta or rice. And the difference is rather than just the butter and garlic sauce, they're actually grilled with a Parmesan and breadcrumbs in the oven and then placed atop the spaghetti rather than mixed in or served atop a bed of jasmine rice.
You know what? I'm going to head up to Hillsborough, okay? I'm going to come, you know, just before lunch, I'm going to go to Go Juice, I'm going to have some, I'm going to start with juicing, and then I'm going to go over to Jumpin' John's Bakery, kind of linger
some
around
nice
there for a
bread.
Little bit, some fresh breads, and I think they do pastries and stuff over there as well.
I've only ordered the bread from them when
okay.
we do
so
our Reubens and
yeah.
stuff. Yeah.
So have a little, you know, lunch slash dessert, and then maybe go and do a little tour, and then end up at Turismo Tavern.
It sounds like a great day.
Doesn't it sound like a fantastic day?
It does.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Allison, thank you so much for coming on Food for Thought.
Well, thanks for the opportunity.
And the food is fabulous. Listeners, I highly recommend you getting on over there. It's over in Hillsboro. And again, it's turismotavern.com, and that's a T-U-R-I-S-M-O. And I'll have it all posted on Food for Thought's Facebook page as well. So, Allison, thank you so much. And we'll be talking to you again soon, hopefully.
Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you. You're listening to Food for Thought. We're going to go on a short break, and when we come back, we're going to be in studio with Julie Barron, President and CEO of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire, and she has a couple guests out there with her, too,
yes,
today.
So I see that.
I'm anxious to see who she brought this week. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol. And joining me today is Tracy Gregoire. And we are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. And we are ready for our weekly segment with Make-A-Wish. So I'd like to welcome on Julie Barron, President and CEO of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire, as well as, I'm so excited, she has...
Sandra,
you know, I had my papers kind of, I'm like, wait a minute, where did I write this? I'm sorry. Sandra Deneau, she is a wish grantor. So, you know, we've just been, each week, we've been delving into Make-A-Wish. And, you know, at first I was kind of thinking maybe it's, you know, maybe it's a little too much, but it's is not too much. I mean, we learn so many different things about Make-A-Wish mm-hmm. each and every week. And then we get to, you know, Julie gets to show us the different areas of Make-A-Wish, from the wish grantors to the wish ambassadors to the wish kids to the wish kids siblings to the wish kids grandparent. I mean, everybody just has such a different perspective on it. So welcome back, Julie.
Yeah, hello everyone.
So I'm glad you're back. And wish grantor, now you must be the one, can you just get,
yes.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. You must be the one that, you know, I think of you as having a little wand.
Yes.
You know, and
we are the fun people.
You are the fun
yeah.
people.
Yeah,
I mean,
we really are.
So give us a, you know, walk me through, actually, first let's ask, how did you become a wish grantor? How did that go
about?
Well,
my husband and I always wanted to do something with Make-A-Wish, and we had donated, and we received emails and read about it, and we decided that we wanted to come and meet the Make-A-Wish organization, and everybody is fabulous.
Aren't
everybody
they wonderful?
Is passionate. And fun and happy, and that's the kind of people we are. So we just wanted to do something more. And so I spoke to Nikki, and she brought us in, and we started the process of being wish grantors.
Now, did you have any experience with any part of your family with Make-A-Wish, or you just it was just something that you felt near and dear? And you
know, we've been with other organizations in Massachusetts that we've dealt with, and we still are. And Make-A-Wish was on the top of the list to do, though.
That is beautiful. That really is.
Yeah.
So you called Nikki, and
yes.
you talked to Nikki, and
yes.
then now do you go to a wish class?
We
like,
did.
How does
we
that
did.
All?
And Nikki is a great teacher, and she gave us a booklet. We went over everything that we had to do, what we had to learn, and she gave us tests. Right, Nikki? Because I know she's listening. And then you have a background check, and they call you.
You passed the background check.
We
I
did.
Think.
Yes, with flying That's... colors. And then they, you know, they put you on the list, and if there's somebody in your area, they give you a call, and you begin.
Now tell me what it was like. It must have been pretty exciting, like when you finished your wish class, and then
yes.
you passed the test and all
yes.
did all that
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Yeah.
And then waiting until you get the call for your first wish. How was that? How was that phone call when you got that? It must have been exciting.
Very, very, very exciting and scary too. you know, because you get a little intimidated, but there's nothing to be frightened of, because as soon as you walk in the house and you look at this child, no matter how old, they're so happy because we bring presents.
You have the
like
magic
I said,
wand.
We have the fun, you know. And so we have the balloons and we have the surprises. And, you know, we just get right down on the floor with them. We play with them. We talk to them. We ask them. One particular wish, which is with Henry. He was our first wish child. Oh, adorable, adorable.
Henry. What a cute name.
And I just sat on the floor and I asked him to shut his eyes and to just think of what he wants to do, anything he wants to do. And he wanted to go to Disney. So he went to Disney.
Did Henry know right away he wanted to go to Disney? I mean, did
well,
he...
when I asked him to shut his eyes, it took him 2 seconds. There was no question. There was no thinking. He wanted to meet Peter Pan.
Ooh, that's a little different.
Yes.
You know, when you think about it, when you think of Disney, I guess I don't right off the top of my head think of Peter Pan. But
right. And we had a wonderful woman come forward. Her name is Natalie, and she actually made him a Peter Pan costume.
Aww.
And so when we went to grant his wish, we had the costume and he put it right on and he had the sword and he couldn't wait to meet Captain Hook and he was so excited.
And how old was Henry?
He's six. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So then when we went to the airport, because we go to the airport and say goodbye to them, he was running all over the airport telling everybody he was going to Disney with Make-A-Wish.
Now, from when you went to his house that first day and sat and had him close his eyes and think about, you know, what wish he wanted, you know, wanted to be granted, how long from there until the wish itself?
It took about 4.5 months because he had a lot of hospital visits, doctor's visits, and different things that he had to accomplish before he could go on travel.
Yeah. So. We really try to work on the family schedule,
right.
You know, so we've brought a wish to life in 48 hours when we needed to.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, and then sometimes it takes much
longer
that, depending, you know, because sometimes a child will want to do something that they might not be medically ready to do right now. So we'll, you know, put it off a little bit till they can, or put it in between treatments and, you know, really work in any way we can to do that.
So just for listeners that maybe still don't know a lot about how Make-A-Wish works. So you don't have to be an employee of Make-A-Wish to be a wish granter?
Actually, all of our wish granters are volunteers.
Ah, see, I did not realize that. I think there's probably a lot of people that don't know this. So if there's somebody who wants to, they're like dying to give back or just do something
like Sandra
like
and George.
That feels good like that and want to be a part of something great. They can just call, make a wish, and go through the process that Sandra went through.
Yeah.
And I did not know that.
Yeah, here at the New Hampshire chapter, we have this great training that you know everybody goes through, so that they really feel prepared the first time they go out. And we have a stable of a couple hundred wish granting volunteers throughout the state, and so we would match up volunteers to, you know, particular geographical areas as well as, you know, even personalities when we can, you know, because we'll...
That plays a part.
Yeah,
you
it
know.
Does. Yeah.
Sure.
So is there an age limit or can like an entire family with parents and children, how does that work?
Yeah, our wish granters are usually at least 18.
Okay.
But, you know, we do have a lot of families that, you know, so parents will be wish granters together and then they get the whole family involved. You know, like I was talking a couple of weeks ago about, you know, the send-offs at the airport and that Sandra was talking about, you know, that's something that everybody can kind of get involved with. And, you know, it's,
we were talking about that a few weeks ago, doing something with that. Yes, we have to talk about that, Julie.
We do. Yes.
Well, I'm in. I'm in.
Oh, it's awesome.
So let's go back to, because I think I probably cut you off.
Oh,
but
no
when
problem.
You were talking about the send-off, like, how is that experience? I mean, that for you especially.
Oh,
for,
so exciting.
You know,
we got up, for Henry, we got up early. We got to the airport early. And they had them in the limo. So Henry and his parents got out of the limo, and he ran right up to me and gave me a big hug. And honestly, I mean, you know, your heart just, He likes me. Type of thing, you know, and because we're strangers when we walk into their homes. So when a child runs up to you and hugs you like that, you really know that, you know, they
want you
there.
Well, you made an impact on him. Yeah,
and absolutely.
Sure.
You made an impact. And there's just, there's no other feeling like that.
I can't imagine. There definitely cannot be any other feeling, you know, than that. Yeah. Now, do you, from when you, you know, you find out, okay, Henry wants to go to Disney, and then do, are you also part of, like, the planning of it and making phone calls and, you know, all that?
No. Nope. Julie and her staff, Denise, Valerie, and I'm probably missing someone.
No,
but
that's
anyway,
perfect.
The staff... they do all of
so
that.
So they do the detail part of it. Okay.
They do all the details.
But between that, like, 4 and 5 months for Henry, because he had some medical, you know, visits and stuff that he needed to do. Are you in touch with him? Are you?
Yes. I send emails, a couple of calls. And when the wish is granted, we go and give him a little diploma saying his wish is granted. We actually had 2 people dress as Mickey and Minnie.
Aww.
And they met us there. And so he was going crazy with that. And we had pizzas and cupcakes. And so it was really fun.
Very nice.
Very, very fun.
Oh, my goodness.
It sounds great for everybody involved. It just... The segment gets me every time.
I know. It definitely does. It's very
It was so nice because the grandparents get involved, relatives get involved. They're all there.
The whole family
really gets them. They're taking pictures, and it's very, very cool. Yeah. And then we go back when the package is completed with the airline tickets and the hotel and all of that. And we have another little get-together, and he loves it because they were calling me Santa. Santa. Oh, Santa's here. Not Sandra. Santa.
And the fun part, because not all wishes are travel, or when we have a wish that's not travel and, you know, they want a pool or a hot tub or a play area in the backyard, then the wish granters get much more involved because they're there on the ground and, you know, they're helping and working with, you know, construction people, electricians, and whatever it needs, and kind of helping to marshal all of the resources that we need. So that makes it's kind of extra fun
as a wish granter. Extra fun.
Do a wish that's, you know, right here in New Hampshire.
And that wish granter can be really involved with the whole wish
from
beginning to end.
Yeah, and they get to see the child's face when they actually are realizing their wish in the moment. And that's, I mean, I can't even explain what that feeling is like, you know, the first time I saw that smile on a kid's face and, you know, when what they've been dreaming about comes to life. Because so often when their wish happens to be away, we don't get to see that, you know, unless somebody's really good and captures that exact moment in a photo, but it's never the same.
And for Henry, that must have been when he saw Peter Pan.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Actually, we're meeting in a couple of weeks to go over his whole trip with him.
So this was recent?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was in April.
Okay.
Excuse me, wait a minute.
April,
February. I'm thinking of the next
vacation.
The next vacation. It was February.
So February vacation. Yeah. And that, oh, wow. That is just amazing.
Yeah. And we even make send-off calendars. And the last one I made, I had little... bands, bracelets, and things with a little girl, and just little prizes behind each one. So when she opens it up, you know, she'd have a prize for the day. So there's a lot of different things you can do, too.
So how many wish kids have you, like, how many wishes have you granted?
Three so far. We're on our third one.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And how long ago did you start?
We started probably over a year ago. Work got in the way a little bit, but now the momentum is going. Yeah.
What a wonderful thing to do. I just love it.
We do too.
Julie, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Now, I mean, you've you know, been working for Make-A-Wish for a while. You've been a wish granter, you know, all the facets of it. And what has been your most, has there been like a, you know, when a kid gives a wish and you're all like, oh my gosh, how are we going to do this one? Like, was there a wish like that? Have you ever experienced a wish like that? And
there have been several, and sometimes the ones that you think might be really difficult to figure out how to bring to life aren't as difficult as others. So I remember,
Getting Wimbledon tickets was, I think, the hardest wish I ever had the experience of trying
You're
to grant.
Kidding.
Yeah. Nobody wants to give up their Wimbledon seats for the finals.
And you would think, oh, yeah, Wimbledon tickets,
no big deal. I know, and I would have thought, what's the big deal?
I know, but exactly. But, yeah, I mean, you know, even with, you know, sponsors and amazing help with that, it's like, you know, people would rather, I guess it's like trying to buy somebody's Super Bowl ticket 5 minutes before they walk in, you know,
right.
I mean, yeah, they're amazingly enough, knock on wood, we've been able to figure it out. We're working right now on a wish that we were brainstorming on this morning. A little girl wants to have a Malibu Barbie experience. I think I mentioned it last time,
yes,
that we were working on it, and we've put it all together, and we found this amazing place in Malibu that they're going to be giving us, you know, for this, you know, amazing price of some donors that have gotten together and do some in-kind. And, you know, we're working on trying to find other volunteers in Malibu that are going to be like her butler and serve her dinner. And the place has got a turnaround driveway. And it's just going to be such a cool wish.
Very cool. So you get to be really creative,
yeah,
as well. It's not just, yeah, oh, Disney trip. You get to find ways to make it really
unique,
fun and personable.
Yeah.
Just like that. So now when you have that wish and that little girl, is it like that upstairs? Like really, and I say upstairs because Make-A-Wish listeners are right here in the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street. They're right up on the third floor. So does this like all happen like up on the third floor in the conference room? Like you all sit and you're like, okay, here's Sally's wish and this is what she wants. So how are we going to do it? Is that?
We do. We don't do it for every wish, but we do it for a lot of wishes. Like an obstacle will come up or we need some brainstorming around it and we'll put a flip chart up on one of the walls and just stand in the middle of the office and write things down and get all excited about it and try to think of different questions and what this child might like or how can we interpret, you know, what they've told us they might like and, you know, do it even better and more magical than they were even thinking.
That would be
it's so much fun
when all that was going on. Yeah. And the excitement level must be way up here. That would be a really fun job.
Because we're thinking, well, if they have a cook for one, like really, I guess I didn't see the movie and I keep saying I've got to go see the movie. But, you know, I guess they have a, you know, a cook, a chef and a butler. And so we're going to do kind of a magical night for
the Barbie
movie. With the Barbie one.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, you know, we're trying to kind of incorporate what she saw in the movie and how could we kind of do some replica things with that when she gets there.
So, and this really does take a lot of detail and, you know, preparation, yeah, because you're talking now with people in Malibu that have to make this happen,
right?
Yeah. Did you talk to other Make-A-Wish?
We do. I mean, all the Make-A-Wish foundations across the country, we're all separate 501c3s, or 64 of us, but we're really close. We work, you know, as a federation. So, you know, I would call up my counterpart in California and talk to them about, you know, how they might, you know, help us with some different in-kind things that, you know, they have relationships on the ground. And we have a wish child that's coming here for
they want to come to New Hampshire?
Yeah. We actually get a lot
she
of
said that with
I
a
know,
question mark.
It's usually to meet, you know, a celebrity that's going to be at the Verizon Center or it's going to be, you know, to see snow. We do get those wishes, which are a lot of fun. So then we're on the other end of it, or to meet NASCAR drivers. You know, we have that wish. And so, you know, then we're working on the other end of it and trying to get in kind with our relationships, you know, to help their wish kids across the country. So it's a great partnership that we've put together. You know, so that we're all separate, but at the same time, you know, everyone else kind of sees us as one, which is great.
Right,
because we have all the benefits of being a local charity because, you know, we're a 501c3 here, and then all the benefits of these amazing resources
all across the
around
country.
The country and around the world,
right,
because there's Make-A-Wishes now in every place, I think, except a couple third world countries.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
Even we were sending it, we sent a family to Greece last year because a little boy wanted to go back to where his family was from.
Oh.
And so, you know, the chapter in Greece was an amazing help to us, you know, because you want to know what hotels to stay mm-hmm. at, what sites to see, and, you know, what better you've than to have that kind of local resource on the ground. So that's what Sandra was talking about with, you know, sometimes, you know, the offices making arrangements that not, you know, we're pulling in our counterparts parts, and that's kind of how we're working it together, so.
Now I'm thinking about back to the Malibu Barbie. I'm thinking of this little girl, and in these beautiful
clothes. Can I go
to
be the butler?
Yeah. What do you do for her clothes? She has to have Barbie clothes.
Yeah, that was one of the brainstorm things that we wrote up about. You know, that we're, you know, maybe there's a little makeover thing in there and some clothes and different things. And I don't know. You know, I've never been a woman that loved dolls, but I'm totally infatuated with this wish because it's just so unusual. I mean, I love those ones that we don't get that often.
Right, that you don't get often, because you must get a lot of Disney wishes, and I imagine, which is great. You know, I mean,
it is great, and every Disney one is really different.
Right,
like Sandra
Peter
was saying.
Pan.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's great. Yeah. I would love to meet Henry.
Yeah. Oh, he is a doll. Love him.
So for listeners that don't, we just have like probably less than a minute. Yeah. Listeners that want to volunteer, where can they find you, Julie?
They can give us a call right at 623-9474, right at our office. Go on to our website at nh.wish.org. And or, you know, just email us.
Email, or you can probably even just show up at the Beacon Building when you come and watch the show. You can go right upstairs.
That'd be great if you could come right upstairs and jump into the office after you have some food at Midtown Cafe.
There you go. There you go. And entertainment watching the show.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Listeners, up next is Kale and Company, and he's going to be in studio with the medium.
Oh,
yes. Ken Kale, he'll be up next. Stay tuned and he'll be back.